All right, here we go. I'm so nervous. I have stage fright.
I need an adult. I need a different adult.
S.C.U.
You are now listening to Shattercast Uncut. Prepare to be shattered with your hosts, Matt Baldwin, Skullface, Greg for Mercy, Oscar NJ Boy, T2RX6, Mega 81. Welcome to Shattercast.
What's up, everybody? Episode 43 of Shattercast Uncut. I think she said she was 18. We are working on a skeleton crew tonight. We had an issue. We lost our recording. We had Josh Burcham and Alex Milne on, and somebody forgot to hit record. So we're on a skeleton crew tonight.
No, that's not what happened.
we're missing some guys, but we do have Antoine.
What up? It's Mega.
You know me, I'm Greg. We have the international treasonist, T2RX6.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Nice enough to come back was Alex Milne.
Hill Hasbro.
And as a very special surprise, we have our number one Twitter follower and party buddy from TFCon, Mr. Fear Corpse, Ben.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Nice to be on the show.
He is calling from a dumpster. So...
Pretty much.
We...
Is that what you did with the person that you thought was 18?
I'm disposing of the body right now.
Wow.
It will be the next episode of like CSI or something.
So, what did everybody get this week?
I got the Death's Head from a good buddy, Oscar. Nice figure.
If he was that good of a buddy, he'd be here with you right now. But anyway, just saying.
Ha ha. Yeah. That's it.
Justin?
I got the Fans Project Steel Corps trailer with the little Red Corps guy and then Oscar's copy of Steel Corps. The
stickers
on the trailer suck, and the trailer itself kind of... It's underwhelming compared to most of Fans Project's offerings, I gotta say. But, I don't know, I like the alt mode, so I guess I like the trailer too.
Alex, did you pick up anything this week?
I don't have any toys. I only got some comics. That's about it.
What'd you pick up? What comics you get? People care. People like to know.
Well, I picked up More Meets the Eye 34. Both. Well, all the covers, because my comic book store holds me all the covers. I could wait for my comp copies to come from IDW, but sometimes they get dinged in the mail, and I must have a pristine copy of each issue. So, and I like supporting the books, so I usually go out and buy those. I also picked up RID 34.
Nice.
And I picked up a few Marvel and DC books. So.
Nice.
For anyone who's not in the know, this is actually a second time we're recording this show. I just want to point it out there that our good friend Deluxe kind of pointed out that he likes to attain the comics in certain ways and made it super awkward for everybody. So just throwing that out there again, throwing Matt under the bus there. Anyway.
what had happened was I've been trying to get him into the comics for how long now? A year and a half?
Yep.
And he was resistant. I was like, look, I get mine digitally. I'll let you take a peek at them. It's like, you got to buy the trades or the hardcovers. And he said, okay. So that was where that came from. I'm not some pirate lord. I just was trying to turn him on to the title, and he's been buying them. He has been buying them. But the way he presented it was like, I was some sort
super
of
awkward.
Yeah. But anyway, Ben, did you get anything this week?
I did. I got the Asia reissue Masterpiece Prime with the Vector Sigma.
Nice.
Because I was dumb enough not to be collecting Masterpieces when Prime came out originally, and I wasn't about to pay $300-something for him. So
you didn't want to buy mine?
No, not. It's okay. I did pick up one of those Year of the Horses, which I'm now in the process of trying to customize into a shattered glass. And Shattered Cast, version of Optimus Prime, kind of like the Chosen Prime had on their booth.
Nice. So
hopefully if I get that done, y'all will be receiving that.
Nice.
Aw. Anything else?
Yep, that's the only thing I got this week. I've been trying to hold off since TFCon.
Yeah.
Blew a lot of money up there, so.
I feel you there. As for myself, the only thing I think of note that I got was, and I'm looking around, I got a pretty sweet custom Optimus Primal from the original mold from my buddy Gil, Gil's Customs. It was actually on display at TFCon at the I Am Ratchet table, but he was nice enough to send that to me, so I'm pretty excited with that. And actually, that was, I believe, the only thing that I got this week. And some repro labels. So, yeah. So, good news for some. Michael Bay will not be returning for Transformers 5.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
No, I'm not going to go watch the rest of them now. Michael Bay's not going to be on it.
It might be a fluke. Who knows?
Where will I get my explosions from?
So not to retread, NC for me is like complete deja vu because we have done this before, but who thinks it's bullshit?
Yeah, it might be a fluke.
It's totally a fluke.
No, I think he's actually off of it this time. I think he's had his fill. Hopefully they've had their fill. But no, I think he's actually wanting to go off and do, I think he was trying to do some kind of political drama now, which I don't understand. That's the current movie news I heard.
It was about Benghazi, so.
Oh, really?
I'll believe it when I see the movie comes out.
So he'll still be able to work in explosions.
Exactly.
And be like Michael Bay. What's the word they go for? Consulted on explosive tech or something like that for the movie. So no, I think that I personally think this is kind of crap because he said he's out like, what, the past two movies, 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's no Megatron, and then Megatron shows up, and there's never going to be Dinobots, and Dinobots show up, so, I don't know. They're going to report a story that he's dead, and then he's just going to turn back up, so I don't believe anything Michael Bay anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it all depends on how much front door and dominant only one.
Say again?
I said it all depends on if Hasbro wants to back up a dump truck of money and dump it out on his lawn on whether or not he'll actually be back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt, that's the only way that, you know, he'll stay out of it if they don't give him that dump truck full of money that he's used to. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But who would they get to who would they get to replace him, though?
The one question I had was, who could possibly be a worse pick than Michael Bay?
Let's see.
Well, you know, he's got plenty of assistant directors that he probably wants to, you know, help along in their quote unquote careers, and he's still going to oversee it anyway as, you know, executive producer. So his fingerprints are still going to be all over it.
Oh, of course. So who do you want to see on the movie? I would love to say anybody doing the Marvel stuff, but that's not happening. We know that wouldn't happen.
Obvious.
I would like to see, I don't know if you know who he is, Neil Blomkamp. Mm-hmm. He did District 9 and the latest Matt Damon movie, Elysium.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed that movie, Elysium.
But then
he does some pretty good mech tech, so.
But then would you get a human character or a robotic character with that one actor that he always uses in those two movies?
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. The guy played Murdoch in the A-Team.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Hey, who was that played Murdoch?
I don't know his name, but yeah, it's the same guy he uses in all of his movies.
And was it Benicio del Toro who did Pacific Rim?
Yeah, right. That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. That'll never happen, but it'd be a good
option. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Wes Anderson do it with simple sets and ensemble cast and actual G1 toys. And if it works. if no one's familiar with Wes Anderson, his latest film was The Grand Budapest Hotel. And he has his very own distinct directing style, which obviously would not lend itself to Transformers at all. But
no, I would not at all.
I would pay all the money to see that happen. So just saying, throwing it out there.
You know, with number four actually kind of performing well worldwide, but underperforming in the States. Do you think it's about time they actually start considering a reboot with Michael Bay being gone and just saying, you know what, it's a good time to just reboot?
Yeah, but here's the thing with me, like, we're on the cusp, so to speak, with what could happen after this movie. That is someone who had, and you know, it's up to the writers too. I mean, it's the director's execution, but also it has to do with the script and the material the writers come up with. But like, we're at a point where, like, hello?
Yep.
Gotcha. Hello?
Anybody here?
Yeah,
we anybody else hear that?
We're all here.
Oh, I think this loud. There's a lot of beep in my ear.
That's weird.
Yeah. I guess I'm the only one that hears it. Fucking schizophrenia.
Edit.
No, we don't edit that shit up. It's just me being crazy again. With the direction things are going, like, I mean, there's a good chance to bring in a whole new crew. And I don't mean this, like, throw together, like, they just happen to be their crew from the last movie, like, Drift and Bulkhead, or, sorry, Hound. You could bring in, you know, you could do your 86 or 87 movie cast. You could bring in your RC and your actual RC. Because, I mean, continuity, fuck it. Like, RC was such a minor character in Rings of the Fallen. And you could bring in your Springer, and you could bring in your Hot Rod, and you could do all that, and you could do the Quintessons, and this could be a good opportunity to polish the turd, so to speak. But at the same time, I mean, I see where the reboot would be kind of the best course of action. So I don't know, so we'll see. I don't really have faith in the movies after the first three. And then I thought the fourth one, I said... it's the same thing that Bobby said in, on the previous recording, but he said it before, how, you know, even his wife is like, you're doing it to yourself again. Like, when the new Transformers movie comes out, I'm like, I don't know, this might be the one. And it's the same way. She's like, you're just doing it to yourself again.
I will say, I went into the fourth one expecting so very, very little and still got less than I intended. You know, like, yeah. It's like, oh no, it's even worse than that.
I went into the fourth one expecting little and got more than what I expected, because that was a long ass movie.
Yes, it was.
I had a serious case of cross-leggedness, and I was like, I want to go to the bathroom, but I think I can tough it out. It's got to be only 10 minutes left, and it's like 30 minutes later. I'm like, dear God, I should have gone to the bathroom.
And with so many different, like, plots going on at one time with no resolution, you don't want to miss anything. Like, it's hard enough to put the movie together when you don't miss anything.
Yeah, definitely.
If you were gone 10 minutes, man, you'd be fucked.
All I can say is I really hope that they end up just calling this one Trans 5 Merce. That's all I wanted to
be. So. I've seen the poster now.
Trans 5 Merce.
Justin, what's next? What's next? I think we've
we exhausted this one. So we're gonna move on to the, well, it's still equally bad news. It is the Prime One statues of Optimus Prime and Grimlock. Not really looking all that much better. I mean, if you're into the movies, I guess it's awesome, but what, they're like, how much are they? Like 4,000 or something? Which, by the way, I saw somebody post online that they had a G1 statue Optimus that was like $2,000. I'm like, well, it's cool, but it's kind of huge and looks kind of silly in your house, just saying. But yeah, I don't know, anybody else getting an expensive reminder of, I mean, I already thought the Blu-ray was an expensive reminder of AOE. Anybody want this the statue at all?
As much as I want a $4,000 testament to slavery, which is what that whole scene was. I have better things.
Now, does the Prime statue actually, you know, guard your house, and when somebody comes in and just start threatening to kill anybody?
It should. It really
should. For $4,000, you know, I want it to protect my house.
Oh, that would be the best security system. Like, your lights would just randomly come on, and then it'd be Peter Cullen going, I will kill you. I will kill you.
Kill me your face.
Kill you. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Be like a scene from Toy Soldiers. All your toys start to come to life. Prime's like, yeah. We will kill them all.
This Optimus Prime. I had to know about him.
I had a hard time swallowing that $700 one. I don't know if I can do the one with the removable. I don't even remember who did it. The one with the removable panel.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of them either. Toys, and then there was the other one. Yeah, Ultimate, that's the one.
The one that the people bought the first version and, like, it was missing feet and shit like that.
Big Bad Toys. Yeah, it's an Ultimate thing.
Because they had so much money into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. What's next? Ant?
Third-party news, Total War, Daniel Cabiner reveal. Any thoughts?
It looks okay. I mean, they're using some of the same limbs over, but it looks okay if you're into that. I don't have any memories of my Dinobots combining. I know it happened in some version of a comic somewhere, but they look good.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, it looks okay, but I don't need my Dinobots to combine. It's just kind of a wasted gimmick on me, so it doesn't have any place in my collection.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing, and the weird thing about this is that, like you said, there's duplicate limbs. So they got Snarl and Sludge on there, and then they got two Slags for arms, which, you know, Swoop is usually portrayed pretty frail compared to the other, you know, Dinobots. He's always smaller, skinnier. So he's just going to have, like, it's going to be, like, one powerful-looking arm and one gimp arm, you know? Like...
Also, Revenge of the Fallen Megatron.
Yeah, exactly. So I just don't know how they're going to pull it off that he's going to look good with Swoop, and I almost feel like he's not going to look good with Swoop, which is why they've put two Snarls on, or two Slags on there. But
would these be better off being, like, just separate figures instead of a combiner team?
I think so. I think that these would have been way better that way.
The thing is, though, that and Toy World makes a quality product. They really do. It's not always aesthetically what I want, or it doesn't end up hanging out too long after, like, somebody else makes one better. But as far as their product itself, I mean, it's quality. But they're what fucking five or six different companies making Dinobots. The thing that actually set them apart, like, their saving grace was the fact they had the gimmick that they combined, and people were into that. So if you take that away, you've just got, like, another set of G1 Dinobots that aren't quite as nice as fans' toys, but they're around the same size as the fans' project, but they don't fit the aesthetic. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the fans' project and Planet thing. X. So, like, I don't know. I mean, like, if you just wanted a set of, like, classics scale G1 style Dinobots, I mean, yeah. But, I actually thought the combining gimmick, while it wasn't for me, it had its charm. Like, it gave them their place. Like, it made them something different. But now you get this other fucking company, I can't even remember their name, that's just coming out of nowhere.
Oh, the Shuriken? Or whatever?
Yeah. With their combining set. Alex, you don't really do a lot of Dinobots in your book. How do you take your Dinobots?
That's a good question. Since I don't get to draw them that much. I don't know, like, I like any version of the Dinobots, really. Going on what you guys were talking about this combiner and how you were saying that Swoop would probably make, like, a gimpy-looking arm because he's not as developed as the other ones. What I was automatically thinking about to make a combiner work with, like, a smaller version of Swoop would be... it wouldn't be a traditional combiner. You'd need two for the arms, one for the upper part of the torso, and one to form the legs, and then Swoop could come in and form the head.
Yeah.
And then that would work much
like
better.
The head, though. And, like, some wings.
Power Rangers on that one.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be, I think that'd be pretty cool.
But he would have to pull a Voltron, and as he came flying in, he'd have to actually say, like, and I'll form the head, and then, like...
But, like, the way I would see it is, like, you'd have, like, Sludge to form the lower body, like, the legs, probably the waist area, then Grimlock to form, like, the shoulders and chest area, then you'd have the other two, Sludge and, Snarl to, Slag and Snarl to form the arms, and then Swoop to form the head, and probably like a chest area, like some armor on the chest. Or if the wings were big enough, have the wings on the back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cool. I can totally see that.
Yeah, well, I was actually looking at my Feral Rex when we were talking about this, like trying to replace limbs and picture it. So I automatically thought wings on the back. But I even think of a version without wings on the back, but yeah. It could be cool. Well, what book was that that there was the Diner Combiner? It was it a Marvel book?
Something that should never be mentioned. I think it was like some weird fan or club exclusive book.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. And they had like the different sets of arms like coming off of it. It was actually kind of like had a Monstructor vibe to it, like a current like IDW Monstructor vibe, if I recall correctly.
I believe it was called The Beast.
Yes, that's it, The Beast. That's exactly what it was.
Huh. Yeah, but I don't need my Dinobots to combine. I just want some Dinobots. So.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Van's toys.
I would just like scale Dinobots, so Sludge would have to be the biggest.
Yeah, you know, I kind of would like to see that too, see how that would turn out. You know, that'd be pretty cool. I always think that like when you do properly scale things like that, it lends a lot to the character personally. Instead of them all being, you know, G1, everybody's the same size. So.
Mm-hmm. The next one is Keith's Fantasy Cloud Fader Eject and Rover Auto Roller for the new blaster that they're coming out with.
Wasn't the Auto Roller a Soundwave thing?
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah. I don't know. And pardon everybody because, who's hearing this again. I don't understand why Auto Roller has to be released by every third-party company out there. It's like a testament of being a third-party company is you have to make an Auto Roller, it seems. And, yeah, who's the guy who's collecting every single Auto Roller that's out there? He's just got that one shelf with just that one figure that was in, like, 2 seconds of G1. He's the happiest guy on the planet. So there's got to be that guy out there, right? Otherwise, nobody would keep making these things.
Well, and as far as, like, it's a KFC tape. And I feel bad because I'm about 80% behind their blaster, having actually, like, handled it in Chicago. The actual, like, finished, quote-unquote, finished product. But, like, their tapes, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're so crappy. Like, I'm holding out that, like, somebody else will decide to make better tapes. Like, make third-party tapes for the third-party blaster.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp because I've gotten behind, you know, that KFC blaster having the Citizen Stack. I think he's, you know, a high-quality figure. And then to... You know, go like, okay, well, where am I going to get my Steeljaw and my Ramhorn? And go, oh, the only options are those KFC ones that historically suck like that. I don't know. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to have to dig out my G1 blaster and put some shitty G1 toys next to, you know, a highly articulated masterpiece blaster. It's going to look ridiculous on my shelf, but it's my only real option at this point.
Yeah. Well, prior to TFCon, I was like, well, you know, the KFC tapes aren't that bad. And then, you know, when I got there, when Matt and I checked in, I picked up my T-shirt and my Pestilence tape. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm sitting there messing with it Friday night, and I couldn't even get the fucking head and the guns out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. These things suck.
Yeah. So I couldn't even be bothered messing with your Pestilence tape for more than, like, 2 seconds. Like, yeah.
Right, you give it right back. You're like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, not worth my hassle. So, yeah, I don't know. It makes me sad that KFC is the one.
And
Blaster.
And Blaster come with Rewind. So
yeah. See, and I had hoped, I'm like, oh, well, you know, Unique Toys made their Blaster, maybe, and then I remembered that his chest is a different size, so it doesn't accommodate the standard size tape, so that hope has now been lost, too.
Well, I was really surprised that they didn't, I was really surprised they didn't pull a Takara here and just wait to release Eject with their twin cast repaint. That's where I thought they were going with this, so.
Yeah, but
you got to think, I mean, Eject and Rewind were, you know, the analogs of Frenzy and Rumble. So,
oh, exactly.
They couldn't really pull that. Does Blaster have a tape? Is there a fifth tape, like, that you can think of?
There's Rewind, Eject, Steel Jaw, Ram Horn.
If you want to get technical, you can get, like, Sundor and stuff in there.
That's the one I was thinking of, Sundor. So if they were to pull like an exclusive, it would have to be Sundor, or not exclusive, but you know, you got a twin cast. But if they come out with a twin cast, I might would actually get it because I need an I'm getting that knockoff masterpiece rat bat now, so I don't really have an excuse to get Sound Blaster.
Are you guys counting the cassettes that combined into a one robot? Because then you'd have Slam Dance.
Yeah, you got those guys too.
Well, that's when I said his four. I was thinking of his main, like the ones that were featured in the cartoon. Which I will go on. I will actually say once again, I've said this before, but I'll say it again for your benefit. The KFC version of Slam Dance, that was the fastest. That was the fastest I've ever sold a toy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm known. That's kind of my thing is like, if I get something and I'm not super into it, like, I get rid of it. I don't keep it around. Like, I don't have, you know, a lot of space and a lot of money. So I get rid of things like as soon as like I know I'm not going to like them. And I got that thing in the mail and I pulled the tank component or the jet component out. And by the time I got it, that in jet mode, I already had it listed and sold in one of my trading groups. And I didn't even take the tank part out of the packaging.
I almost picked one up at CFCon and then I looked, I'm like, whoa, no, they want way too much for this thing.
No. Somebody had them for like $15 a set or $20 a set or something like that. Like that.
Yeah, it was too much.
The Squawk Talk, which, you know, that wasn't a bad one. Like, I really didn't mind. I mean, it was all ball joints, but I really didn't mind it that bad. I mean, granted, that goes for Soundwave, not for Blaster, so we're kind of off topic. But that was the first set I think they made, and it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, the only thing is like in tape mode. The only thing that says they're tape is that they're a rectangle, you know? There's no, like, I mean, you got the like, reels and stuff carved in it, but there's just no paintwork to actually make you think that it's a tape. So, I don't know.
And Repro labels won't make stickers for it because they don't consider them to be, they have a tape mode. So,
I don't know. And the other thing, the thing about the first two that they released, I can't, Squawk Box, right? That was the name of the combined mode. They're essentially the G1 toy with just a tiny bit of articulation. I don't think that Beast Box or whatever his name is had any improvements over the original from the 80s, you know? So,
I don't know. The original had a better color palette. Okay.
But whatever. You know, KFC, it is what it is.
Yeah. That should be their slogan.
It is what it is.
Not bad.
It is.
The next one is SXX overclocking blur.
Well, it's overlocking.
Yes. It should be overclocking because that makes sense, but somebody doesn't actually understand English over there who's making up things, so... Now it's overclocking, so, you know, way to go.
Chosen Prime actually has him listed as overclocking, which is a great name for him, but going to be a crap figure. But
yeah. He's so
I was looking at that.
So big.
Yeah.
Did this? I can't remember. Did he say he was interested in picking this guy up or no, because of the continuously variable experience, I believe. I think
exactly.
He said he was really into how this guy looked, but because of continuously variable, he can't get beyond.
Oh, Bobby.
So.
Yeah.
Didn't somebody else release that they were going to do a blur, another blur?
Or
am I just making that up? I'm thinking maybe the Legend class. us.
Which, I'll be honest with you, I saw those at the TF Source booth at TFCon, and they didn't look bad. The Boar and the Ironhide, like, they look pretty cool. I mean, they're too small for me, but they look pretty cool.
When Antoine gets them, we'll have to ask him about them.
Oh, yeah, he's about the Legends figures.
Yeah.
Not
just any Legends figures, but the $50 a piece, or $50 a set Legends figures.
But this this Blair definitely has a problem. I think he's got way too big of a chest and way too big of a shoulders for, like, some guy who's supposed to be known for being, like, quick and stuff. And, like, I know G1 Blair was more, you know, more bulky, like, you know, really animated, that made him, like, this really tiny, sleek thing. But G1 Blair was still sleeker than this guy is, and I don't know. I really like his vehicle mode. I just can't stand the robot mode. So... And I don't know. I don't display most of my things in vehicle mode, so.
And I said before the show, why come with fucking Prime Skyquake and Dreadwing's gun?
Yeah. And is he coming with it, or is it just they put that picture in, and now, you know, people are going to buy this and be like, wait, where's that gun that I figured was $20-some of the cost? Mm-hmm. So. And how big is this guy supposed to be? I mean... People are saying, like, he scales with the Masterpiece cars. Is that correct?
Yeah,
Oh, is he bigger? Because the continuously variable. Because I thought it was supposed to be in that same, like, quote unquote, like, brand, like, series. Because that was about deluxe scale. That was like old school deluxe scale. Well, that was about the size of. I'm looking at my. I'm glancing along my shelves. Like, I'd say he was about as big as Cup, like Generations Cup. Mm-hmm. And man, I don't know. After that figure was a disappointment. If it had been a $15 Hasbro figure, it wouldn't have been that bad. But, I mean, it wasn't that much, though, when it came out, I don't think, but still.
I know it was cheaper. It definitely wasn't $105, that part I know, but,
And I got mine, like, second hand.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it does nothing for me. It's too much. It's too much of a too much Blur for my taste. I'll hold out for one.
I love Blur and I love Cop. I mean, I love the movie, the old school phase of the movie. Like, that was my Transformers. I mean, I was born in 82, so, like, for me, that was Transformers, you know, after my He-Man phase. So I have a special place for all those characters, but yeah, not this version. Let's see, what do we have next?
This probably about Stone guy.
Let's see. Oh, nothing. You got some Freud and Terminus designs. You want to talk about those?
Me?
You. Are you Alex Milne from IDW More Than MCI fame? And a bunch of... A slew, if you will.
Damn it, they're on to me. Now I gotta run and escape. Didn't think anybody would come to me with questions about stuff that this person actually designed. Damn it.
Now I'm hearing you getting mowed over by some cars.
So. He's hitchhiking.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hit a dead zone.
Oh. I thought Alex really was, like, getting out of here. He's like, fuck it, I got a thumb around.
Okay, I gotta go. So anyway, Alex, back to your designs here. And obviously I know the answer to this already, but when I look at Freud, I see the big long arms and I immediately think Transformers Prime Soundwave. And just kind of looking at him, I assume that was part of the... inspiration and stuff, and any other inspiration you drew making either of these two guys off the top of your head?
See, these two designs here are the only contribution that I did for issue 34 of More Than Meets the Eye. That book was drawn by Attilio. But before the book was started on, James approached me and was like, I know you're on this book, but these two characters are going to be showing up and they might show up again. And he's like, I know that you're really big into designing stuff for the books. So he's like, would you like to do them? And I'm like, yeah. I'd be like, especially if I have to draw them again later. Of course I'm going to design these guys. With Freud, yes, there's a definitely a TF Prime Soundwave inspiration there. I had gotten the design brief for him, which basically said Slender and turns into some sort of flying vehicle, whether it be a jet or a helicopter, it's undecided at the moment. So that was basically my little write-up for that character. And I was like, okay, so let me think about what he should be like. Since he was like going to be like a psychiatrist, I'm like thinking that he should have slender proportions, kind of like Rung. I was on a big TF Prime kick at the time. I was flipping through my Art of TF Prime book and thinking Soundwave's pretty cool. Like, I love like the really long spindly arms. I'm like, we should have more characters like that in the comic. So I'm like, why not? Why not have a character with really long arms? And it gives a very distinctive look to the character. So you'll automatically know when somebody says Freud, you'll be like, it's the guy with the really long arms there. With Terminus, he was supposed to be a minor and also have a slight resemblance to Megatron. Something if I had gotten to draw the actual book is... on his face, he would have the actual painted-on markings that Megatron had in Megatron Origins when he was doing the gladiatorial battles. Those would have been the original markings on Terminus's face that is supposed to be like Megatron put those markings on to honor Terminus. Mm-hmm. So
nice. Now,
what is you said Terminus is like a minor? Can you hint at what his alt mode is like? Is it a
it'd be like a mostly a tank style vehicle, but it's a construction vehicle. Right. Most of the when I designed the minor versions of Megatron and this guy, I don't really put any like really defining construction features on them, because I like to think since they're mining, they transform into mining vehicles, that they can have interchangeable equipment when they need it. So if you need like a bulldozer part, there's an attachment that would you transform into your alt mode. There's an attachment that hooks onto you, and you go from there. If you need a drill section, you detach that bulldozing that equipment, and you attach that then. So the minor versions that I created have interchangeable parts to them.
That's cool. I want, with respect to Freud there, I gotta say, I really do like adding the robots with, like, kind of awkward proportions, because a lot of times with Transformers, you kind of forget that they are robots, and they don't need to be, you know, G1 human form-looking people, so, like, I like...
Also with Freud, I wasn't exactly sure if he's supposed to be 100, like, really good or really bad, so... If you give him like these awkward proportions, you can add like a somewhat menacing feel at times to them, because they have that abnormal feature to them that mm-hmm. they can be very imposing if they want to be, depending on the angle that you depict them. So that's fun. And also getting rid of like, say, like the mouth, and I have it covered up with a piece like which looks like a piece of breathing equipment. That can also add to like an intimidating factor depending on the way that you draw them.
Right. Yeah, no, these designs are really cool. And if you were to see one that became a toy, which one would you prefer? I mean, preferably both, right? But you know,
preferably both.
If you could only have one,
I can only have one. I'll pick Freud because I do like the colors for him. I went over the colors with Joanna and. We finally came up on a look that we felt best suited him, and I like seeing a bot that has blue and orange and some grays in there. So I think it's like a nice color balance. So I like to see that one.
Yeah, and you, with your preference to the color scheme, I just wanted to throw out. I didn't realize that the TFCon exclusive Azalea was based on your proposed color scheme for RC. And, I mean, man, like,
like made reality. Like that was a great, yeah, that's a stunning palette for any character.
After seeing it later, I was bummed out that I didn't, you know, grab that because it's way prettier looking than the standard Azalea.
So. Yeah. All right, so the next thing we have on the list is the reflector accessory that comes with this gold blinged out Megatron. Which, I mean, it's kind of useless.
I think. It's a lot of money to pay for a non-transforming miniature camera.
Yeah, $200.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can find other cameras out there that would fit this bill way cheaper. So, it's a case of this. You know, this Megatron is already pretty undesirable in my opinion. You know, he's gold, so I feel like they already know they're not really gonna sell a whole bunch of these. So let's try to put an accessory that hopefully will make, you know, that cash grab that you need it. But you know, this is even worse than Ratbat. This is even less necessary. So.
Now, have they called this reflector? Well, no, wait, never mind. I was going to get at, maybe this is just a way to keep, like, reflector so they could make a masterpiece reflector proper, but they have reflector because they used it as the little accessory with Scrapnel.
Yep. Yeah, and they have called this reflector proper, yeah. So.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and for the people listening, they don't know what it's like, so we've said all this before. But it's just a squandered opportunity. I mean, if you want to make a masterpiece, quote-unquote, reflector, it would be a perfect set of figures, depending on if you want to look at them as one or look at them as three separate characters, for their price point. You could easily make a camera the size of one of the cars and sell it at that price point, you know, whatever, depending on where you get it from, that set, smaller scale masterpiece price point. It would be perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. And the images on the box they have for this reflector, infinitely more interesting than the actual reflector. Like, the reflector looks like a Monopoly piece. He doesn't look like, you know, anything special. Where the box actually has, you know, a nice-looking lens-type thing going on, and it's just, this is not good. I guess if you're getting Gold Megatron, congrats, you've got something that doesn't have much value, but whatever. So, I'm sure.
Well, it's like that Vector Sigma that comes with the reissue MP10. I mean, you know, I would think having a Vector Sigma would be more desirable far as display and play value than having this little Monopoly type token piece. But it's the same kind of thing. I mean, it's just something to throw in there. Or like that paper throne for Grimlock. Like, it's just something in there to command a slightly higher price and make the toy more desirable or sought after. But it's really, at the end of the day, it's going to end up being a disappointment. It's not going to be the focus of the package.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, like, this is totally a type of thing that I can see Dr. Wu making exactly the same thing, but with the actual, like, proper colors of reflector and stuff on it and looking infinitely better for $15, you know? So, and if they don't do it, then someone's going to knock it off anyway. So, I don't know. Pass.
Yeah, definitely a pass here, too. Alex, are you going to pick this up with your big IDW royalty check?
Oh, wow. when I actually ever get one of those... Maybe. I probably won't get this. If I had money to spare, why not? It's a novelty, but doesn't really appeal to me that much.
Well, you said before, most of your masterpiece figures are still boxed, right? That was you? Or was that Josh?
Yeah,
that was you, me. Yeah, so.
Like, if they gave a different breakup in the gold, like, and it was like gold, silver, and bronze in areas, then maybe that would be more appealing to me.
Yeah.
Well, the last piece of news we've actually got here before we move on to start picking Alex's brain a little bit is we've got some more labels from that Ocean Design Company, the people who are making the official Masterpiece labels, and they are just doing Autobot and Decepticon faction symbols, and it's kind of, they want anywhere between $3 to $12 per sheet. Like, I don't know. I think that they don't really, they're not really aware of their market out there, the perhaps third-party competitors that are doing it for a cheaper price, or the billions of people on the internet who actually put out, you know, larger size Autobot decals to put on things that aren't actual toys.
Yeah, I mean, there's a million, like, and I hate to say it, I love Ripple Labels, and I buy, you know, their sets that appeal to me. Obviously, I don't buy everything they put out. But, like, even for faction symbols, like, I can get the same quality fashion set with a hairdryer and a comb and a mirror. Faction set from somewhere like TF Kingdom for, like, $3 shipped and get more symbols. And it's, you know, same quality
at the
end of the day.
Just going to hit Amazon.com real quick if it's going to load here. Oh, Amazon, you're failing me. Let's see.
You wouldn't have that Thrilling 30s logo.
I know, right? Is this actually part of the Thrilling 30? I don't know.
Anybody can be part of the Thrilling 30. I think Shattercast is part of the Thrilling 30 at this point.
Yeah. I mean, for the price that they're offering these things, you could get, like, a chromed, like, 3D decal thing that's 5 inches big. Like, I don't know. There's so many options out there for these Autobot logos that, I don't know. This is good for Hasbro. They've licensed this out to somebody who's going to go bankrupt.
Who is this? Who is that? Ben?
Yeah, he's in a tunnel or something. I don't know what's
going on. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm driving home from work and it's just going through dead zones. I'm sorry, guys.
You're fine. I just wasn't sure.
What do you do for work, Ben? Do you murder people? Are you a contract killer? We've got another show. Ben's a contract killer.
Actually, no. I'm actually quite the opposite. I work in the healthcare field.
That's so disappointing.
So you really are a contract killer.
Yes, in a sad form of truth. Yes, yes.
Speaking of contract killers, did you hear about the drummer AC/DC? Tried to hire somebody to kill a couple people. Got busted.
Yeah.
I did not hear that.
Did he do it dirt cheap?
That's the first thing I said. Yeah, that's the only reason I posted it in our podcast chat. I wanted to be the first person to say, I wonder if it was done dirt cheap. And then Matt went on to say he must have big balls to pull stuff like that, which I saluted Matt, and that was the end of the AC/DC puns, unfortunately. But
so if he was arrested, was he thunderstruck?
Ah, see, there you go. I didn't even think about that.
Very nice.
So I think we should forego our regular discussion and listener questions. We have a couple, and we did them before, but I think we should just move those to the next show proper. And get on to the bonus round. Alex, you want to answer some questions?
I suppose I can, since
I'm
here.
Explaining to do. And unfortunately, Fear Corpse is in the channel because he asked the most questions. So let's skip. We'll do his last and see if we can maybe get him on.
Am I back? Can you hear me?
Are you back now? Are you back?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm here.
You want to throw your questions at him?
Sure. My first question, Alex, was you've kind of touched on it a little bit tonight with Freud and whatnot. I was going to say, are there any original designs that you currently have that you would like to introduce into more of the MECI, kind of like a pharma or something of that nature?
Of original character, original designs, or like original designs of characters that haven't shown up in IDW yet, like
both. I mean, if you've got other original designs, you know, characters of yours that you have said, hey James, can I got an idea for a character, what do you think about this?
Or does Hasbro have a telling
y'all about what you can introduce and what you can't?
I have designs and stuff like that, and the designs of characters that haven't shown up yet, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
So maybe, what you're
maybe,
saying...
Maybe down the line, you'll see some of them.
Nice.
So I had two questions for you. You've been teasing us for a long time. What is this defensor? You know, what's he look like? Give me. Obviously, we can't see the picture, but you know, what's he look like? Come on. And don't tell me he's made of five rescue vehicles, or I'm hanging up on you on this call. That's all I'm saying. Just kidding. I'm gonna hang up on you.
He's big and blue and white.
Goddamn cop out.
Oh, damn it.
So he's Stan Smith.
Since I don't have, like, with my the way I designed him, right, well, I can tell you, going by the scale of how I do the bots, I don't have them in their traditional scale size where Hotspot is the biggest there. Blades is actually the biggest character. So
That's cool. So how do you, if you can, how do you work in something like Groove, who is traditionally an enormous motorcycle that makes up a huge leg, you know, like, is that still the same way, or did you, like, change something? Like, do you envision something different?
Since he's not an Earth motorcycle, then it works.
That's fair. How much would it cost to commission you to make a drawing of this defensor? Just so I can put it on the show. No? No takers? Okay.
Definitely.
All in good time.
All right. I look forward to it.
Well, Justin, he's already got the original design done. Just buy the original from him.
Yeah. Greg, do you want to grab a question here?
Yeah, well, I thought Ben would just go through all of his. I had questions, but they involved me personally. I had questions that I didn't even list here because they involved both Josh and Alex.
I mean, I can ask another one if you want me to.
Please do.
Well, here, let me ask one of Adam's questions, and we'll mix it up. Sure. And then I'll just mark off the questions we've asked. I'll just delete them from the drive. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Actually, I'm curious about this myself. You not being a writer, I know you've worked on some of these, so you may have some insight. This comes from one of our listeners, Adam Tucker. He's a pretty frequent contributor. Despite some truly epic stories, despite some truly epic stories, some of them have felt disjointed with the spotlights serving to fill in many of the gaps. Are there any plans to bring Spotlight issues back that you know of?
For what I know of, there are no plans at the moment, from what I've heard, to do Spotlights right now. Right now, I feel that they're focusing on the ongoings at the moment and leading into Combiner Wars. So that's about as much as I know overall right now.
So, I know More Than Meets the Eye is not part of Combiner Wars, but you might have heard some other stuff. I mean, are there, and this is another question from John Long, is there an overall all plot, like, past Combiner Wars that you know of, or is that kind of the focus right now, is to get everybody who's going to be part of Combiner Wars into Combiner Wars and sell some toys?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that much about Combiner Wars. I know.
Well, and that was going to be another question for Josh, since he, you know, because he works on RID. But
well, like, what we know about RID is that it's no longer going to be called RID. It's going to just going to be Transformers. Since we have an RID TV show coming out now, and that at some point, it's going to be part of Combiner Wars, along with, I do believe, Windblade. Because you have the two artists working on Combiner Wars is Sarah and Livio. And then after, and going by the way that issue 34 has set up things, I'm sure that it's going to be like the focus will probably be not on Earth, or it might be back and forth between Cybertron and Earth for Combiner Wars. And then after Combiner Wars, it's just going to go back to doing what RID used to do, but under just the Transformers umbrella.
Yes, under another
banner. So I'm pretty sure there's like more story after Combiner Wars, because that's the way More Than Meets the Eye was going to be when it was originally part, when it was originally thought to be part of Combiner Wars, is that we just slot Combiner Wars in and then you have more story afterwards. So I know that James has planned right now, I think it's up to issue 54.
Nice. Well, and let me ask you this then, and I'm not trying to take over now, but there's a bunch of listener questions that all kind of fill in these gaps, and I have to find it so I don't mess it up. I know I put it in here. Maybe I didn't. But Adam also asked, like, there's characters and things that have been referenced in More Than Meets the Eye that we haven't actually seen. Like, there's a lot of things that are talked about, and it's accepted as being, like, background story. You drawing the book, you know what I'm talking about, like, the, more so than I do, like, the little things. Are there plans to go back? Like, are there any little, deviations from the storyline to, like, give some backstory on some of the stuff? Like, some of the stuff that happened in the past that they reference, or is More Than Meets the Eye just going to be, like, a straightforward story where they kind of, like, off-mention these past events? Does that make sense?
I'm pretty sure with James, anything that gets mentioned or something that seems to be, like, a kind of a throwaway line or something will be mentioned at some point and will be shown. Okay. Well, we've now just seen with issue like 34, we have seen Terminus, which you might have thought was just a line from issue 28 when it was first mentioned, when Rung asks Megatron who's Terminus.
Yeah.
So now we get to see him. So I'm sure there are things that James is seeding that will come to light further down the line. So I guess a lot of people have to be patient for that. I know it can be hard because it's like you really want to know stuff. I too really want to know stuff, and James is like, no, you get to find out too later. And I'm like, tell me now. I want to know. If you want me to keep drawing your book, tell me now.
That was going to be my next question. What's it like working for a sadistic evil genius?
I have more white hair in my beard than I used to, so.
Oh. All right, does somebody else want to take another question?
Yeah, well, just following up on that, Greg. Alex, do you ever get a page from James and you just look at the script and you just go, how in the heck am I supposed to draw this?
I think that's every issue I get. there are pages where I'm just like, really? This again, like it won't again, not meaning like, oh, I'm drawing the same thing again. It's just like, you made me pull up my hair last issue because you gave me like something semi-impossible, and now you want me to do it again. I'd be like, I thought that you said that you're gonna go easy on me this time. I'm like, lies. So James likes to lie to the audience, he likes to lie to his artist, so I'm like, I look at every issue, I'm just like, all right, what am I gonna like pull my hair out with this time?
Personally, as a Brainstorm fanboy, I'm gonna read way too much into what you just said and hope my theory about Brainstorm in the coming issues is true. With what you said about James has to lie to his audience, does he ever give you anything but seriously, like, that you just look at and you're like, this makes absolutely no sense. Like, what the fuck were you thinking? Or like, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what the relationship, I know in the past, like we had you on before, you said that you like give him some background and like some different characters that he's not super familiar with. I think you said you like fit in like Beast War or like continuity or series characters into the background and whatnot, and you explain to him what they are. But, like, does he ever, like, present something to you, and do you like, challenge it or question it, or do you just kind of, like, go with the flow on some of his story choices? Like, do you give your own input, or?
If I feel like something's not going to work very well, I will, like, voice my opinion about that. We have gotten into arguments about doors and how mechanical stuff works. far too many times do I butt heads with him about how things are supposed to work. Probably because, like, I'm a sci-fi nerd here. And I had to come up with a quick fix for something that really bugged me, and that was in issue 32, and that was with the elevator scene, and you have Nautica and Nightbeat starting up on one of the upper decks, and then they're going down to one, and he's like has one that's like the bottom of the ship, and I'm just like. I like to say, like, in space shows, the majority of the time, deck one is at the top of the ship, and it goes from there down to the higher up numbers. So I was like, but the way I made a compromise, so nothing had to be changed, but and I get what I want, and he gets exactly what he wants, is that each one of the quantum engines, it's divided into an upper and a lower section. So when you want to go within a quantum engine block, you have however many decks on the upper, and it goes from one to whatever that way, and how many ever, or it goes from the higher number to one being at the top, and then for the lower ones, it goes from the higher number down to one on the lower ones. So
now let me ask you this, on your quantum engine blocks, is there a 413, or are Transformers just not superstitious like that?
I don't think there's a 13, because I think it goes from 12 to 1, so...
Oh, but, well, there you go.
I don't think that they care about numbers.
Ben, you ask good questions. You got another one, right?
Well, I was just wondering what his page count was, the typical average pages he can finish in a night. I wonder how hard it is to actually get through some of these Transformer books.
It all depends on how productive I'm feeling. On a day where I feel average, it's about a page and a half. But like I'm also right now I'm inking the pages too, so that kind of slows me down a bit. On a very productive day, I can get 2 to 2.5 pages done, and that's with inking them. But it also depends on the type of page. If there's a lot of characters per page per panel, then that will slow me down. One thing that I've realized I don't like drawing is when there might be a shot when there's, I believe, on one of the last pages, 12 characters in this one panel, and you need to see the majority of them. It makes me have to draw them smaller, but also full body, and I'm just like, I don't like drawing small full body characters. I found out I'm just like, this is so, takes so long, and I'm just like getting so pissed off with it. So I'm just like, if I can do larger ones, then that makes me happier. But when you have to start, for me, when I have to start drawing the smaller ones, I have to start thinking what details I want to keep and what details I want to cut out due to the size of you're going to look on the page. I don't want it to be too busy.
Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, but the standard, like industry standard, is like you do a page a day. But right. Life stuff always seems to get in the way of doing that. So right now I have to be playing catch up, so I have to do more than a page a day at the moment. But
now, what's your typical setup there? You usually have some TV going on in the background, or what do you keep to occupy yourself while you're doing your pages?
That can be different from day to day. There are times that we'll have the TV on in the background, and I'll set it to shows that I have already seen. And I'll use the show as like a timing method for myself to see how much I can get done within the hour long show. Most of the time I just have it on like iTunes on the internet radio, and I'm like listening to that or listening to podcasts and doing that. I know when my other half is up here and she's like watching TV, it kind of distracts me a bit. So right now I don't like having the TV on that much. I just like to focus on the work.
No, I know a couple issues ago you were doing an interview with us when you were working on the book.
Yep.
A little shameless plug. Let me ask you this then. Here's a completely off-the-wall question. You listen to iTunes. What kind of music do you like? You can say genres, you can say bands. I'm a music guy, so.
I like a wide range of stuff. I find that my taste in music has broadened quite a bit as I get older. So.
Same. Give me five bands, or artists, or whatever.
Let's see. Recently, I've been listening to Foo Fighters, especially their new stuff. I'm enjoying that. I keep listening to Adele, her James Bond piece of music that she did for Skyfall.
Okay.
And, it was a Daft Punk. I like listening to them.
Their newer stuff?
Everything. It just helps me when I'm working. Like certain pieces of music will have like a beat to them, like a rhythm that really helps me work, and like I'll work to the music, so I find myself going a bit faster at times. I heard I listen to a lot of old stuff, like also on YouTube. Listen to some of like the old music videos, but like Jefferson Starship.
Nice.
And I always listen to Nine Inch Nails because that's like my favorite band. So
nice. See, that's what I'm getting at. That's the answer I wanted. I wanted the favorite band. So good.
I leave that for last. That's my favorite. I had to think about that. Be like, I'll leave it to last. Get my favorite band in last.
So I got a question for you, Alex. Do you have a favorite character that you've designed, like redesigned or whatever, from their original imaginings?
There are so many. You're gonna make me choose between all of my babies that I've designed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy,
picking a favorite child now.
Favorite child. Okay, for the ones I got to redesign, it's probably gonna be Skids.
Skid. Mm-hmm. And now, since you have done a fair amount of redesigns, have you ever designed something that you loved and then like IDW or Hasbro was not on board with them and kind of made you scrap?
That's a good question. I know I did a design during the Drift miniseries for a new version of Lockdown that was never used because Hasbro wanted us to use the Revenge of the Fallen Lockdown.
Yeah.
So I mainly just tweaked that Lockdown to have more G1 features to his face. So.
So with that also in mind, like, how much does Hasbro actually influence when you come up with a redesign? Like, do they just give you general guidelines, or, you know, you're given mostly free reign, or how's that work for you guys?
I don't know if I want to jinx things, but with More Meets the Eye, I feel like at the moment, anyways, that we've had quite a free run at doing things. I haven't had anybody really come to me and be like, this character has to be in here and they have to look like this yet. Mm-hmm. One of the characters, like Nightbeat, I haven't made him look like his generation's toy. He has a More Than Meets the Eye original design for him. Mm-hmm. But that's not saying, like, if Hasbro was like, you need to have this guy in there, that I'd be like, right. I'd be like, yeah, you got to do what you got
to
do, right?
Yeah, I can't bite the hand that feeds. So, going back to Nine Inch Nails.
But I like to feel, or I like to think that Hasbro was very open for us to do designs, because then they can see what fans are liking out of the book, like which characters, and they might want to make toys based on those designs.
So. I kind of would hope so, but it always feels like the third-party company seemed to beat, I don't know if it's beat Hasbro to the punch or just the ones who recognize what people seem to want, you know, like that make toys swerve, you know?
Okay, I think the big thing is, like, with Hasbro, they're also looking for more playability. And they want to have something that's also maybe a little bit more conventional alt mode,
sure,
thing. So with Swerve and Tailgate and everything, they'll look at the overall design of what's in More Than Meets the Eye, and then they'll be like, okay, what does this, what kind of Earth style alt mode can we make? Maybe a bit futuristic, but not going too far out there. And then they'll redesign him to have a More Meets the Eye aesthetic, but also have a more conventional alt mode. And I think with third-party companies, you're not restricted to that. And if you want to do a more traditional More Meets the Eye alt mode, then they're going to do it.
Right.
Also, Hasbro has to think in a lot of safety and quality control issues here. You don't want to have a lot of sharp parts that kids will stab themselves with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you also don't want to have a lot of parts that will fall off and like something like a kid will swallow, or even like a stupid adult would swallow, because who knows, one night you get drunk and you have a buddy bet you, be like, I bet you couldn't fit that all in your mouth. I'd be like, I bet you I could.
Yes, I can.
I actually have crack talk going on right now.
So there are a lot of, there are a lot more things that Hasbro has to think about. Sure. So I'm pretty sure that has to all go into their design process.
It's a good, that
a third party doesn't have to do, right?
Obviously, yeah.
I'm pretty sure most third party companies wouldn't survive a drop test.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, definitely can't see that being wrong. The last question I personally had for you, because you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, when it comes to designing or redesigning a character, like you had mentioned, like with Blades, like how he'd be bigger than Hotspot because, you know, helicopter being bigger than fire truck. And we talked about the Dinobots earlier, and you said, you know, Sludge being bigger than any of the other guys. Like, what other types of things do you personally consider when you're going through that process of designing or redesigning a character?
Well, first of all, like, since I'm working on More Than Meets the Eye, I don't get to draw many Decepticons. So if I am designing a Decepticon, I always think that a Decepticon is usually bigger than an Autobot.
Yep.
Most of them, when you think of a Decepticon, they're from like G1 and everything, they're a tank or an aircraft or something. So they're more of a military vehicle. But even if you add construction vehicles in there, they're bigger than a standard car. So those bots, and well, those bots would be bigger. And if going by the comics, most of the Decepticons there are the disenfranchised labor class, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have them, like if they're doing manual labor, you want them to be bigger. So I always think a Decepticon is usually bigger than an Autobot. But that's not always the case, because you'd have like infiltration bots and everything like that. So they would be slender ones and stuff like that. I usually think about, well, let's see. There aren't many Fembots to throw in there until now, but I don't get to play a lot of with them. But I like to think about what the character will turn into to go for their size. So if a character turns into a jet or a spaceship, I'll usually have them bigger. Because take Cosmos, for instance, right? when he was on More Than Meets the Eye, he was the biggest character that I had to work with because he was a flying saucer, giant spaceship. So I wanted him to be bigger. He was bigger than Ultra Magnus in my book.
Dang.
So,
wow.
And I always find it kind of funny because you have characters who are in the toys are really tiny, but I make them like the biggest characters because that's what I feel their alt mode would be. You wouldn't have like a tiny space shuttle that Optimus Prime couldn't fit into. If you're going to turn into a space shuttle, the biggest, like some of the biggest bots should be able to fit into you when you're in alt mode. It's only now in a few issues that I've had to deal with mass shifting, but James in the script has written in that they need to mass shift. So I'm like, okay, if you're saying that they're mass shifting, that's fine. Because I don't usually like doing a lot of mass shifting. You get some characters that can be way out of proportion, like with the combiners, like Devastator. I find him to be a little bit too big at times.
Well, that's something I actually appreciated in a couple, and this isn't spoilers because it was issue before last or the one before that, but where Megatron, he actually mentioned, he was like, due to my design, like, you know, I can mass shift at will because I used to turn into a handgun. And they use that as a plot device, or not necessarily a plot device, but as a, actually, I guess it was more of a MacGuffin, but it was a way to like, solve the problem. And I actually appreciated that. Like, I thought that was a nice nod.
It was a nice piece of also continuity too, because if you go back to one of the Asian books, I think it was Escalation, that's when you have Megatron turn, like, do the mass shifting because he's using the whatever ore it was at the time.
Yeah.
And I like how James has written in, once your spark has been modified to mass shift, you can't unchange that. So.
Exactly. Like, I noticed that. I really, really, really appreciated that that particular piece of writing there. Like, but that's one of those things.
I think it was interesting that it wasn't play into, like, when you transform into your alt mode, you mass shift. You can also mass shift your robotic form, too, which I thought was a nice touch.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
Do we have... Were there more questions, or was that it?
That's all that's listed here, unless Ben's got any more. You got any?
No, I think I'm tapped out right now. I can try to think of something else, but I'm sure Alex has got to get going.
Well, I have one more.
Oh, okay.
But it's a quick one, and it's not Transformers related. You've spoken with Bobby on the show, Bobby Skullface. Right, you're familiar with who I'm talking about, Alex?
Yeah.
Finding out that Nine Inch Nails is your favorite band, we've had this discussion a few times. Pretty Hate Machine. Where do you put that on your list?
My list of favorite Nine Inch Nails, like, albums?
Where do you... Just on the list of all their albums. This is completely not Transformers related, but he doesn't consider it to be... He doesn't even consider it to be a Nine Inch Nails album.
How can it not be a Nine Inch Nails album?
As far as his idea of Nine Inch Nails. And I say it's my favorite one. So where would you put it?
That is the first album. It's like spectacular, that album. I love it.
That's all. Just say Bobby Skullface is wrong. That's all you gotta say.
He's wrong. And like, if you don't have Downward Spiral as the next greatest album, then everybody else is wrong, and you can all fuck yourselves.
Hey, old Trent Reznor.
And with that, I believe we should go to the shout-outs, and we'll get ourselves out of here for tonight. So our first shout-out, of course, he's on the show tonight, is Fear Corpse, who joined us very last second to be on here, so we really appreciate
that. Thanks, everybody. Hope I'm being in a tunnel.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, Skype is Skype. It does what it does. So Next, we've got The Chosen Prime, who is a up-and-coming retailer of all things. He has does he have official stuff there, too? I know he has tons of third-party stuff and possibly the most impressive display at TFCon, if I do say so myself. Check him out. And, of course, we can't forget Kuma Style, who posts our stuff on his website every single week, and he has recently posted pictures of the Toy World Roar, the two Azaleas, and I believe he actually has a, whatever it is, the Make Toys Utopia pictorial review coming up soon, so I do look forward to that. And we can't forget I Am Ratchet, who is there for all your G1 needs. Pretty cool guy, met him at TFCon. Totally check his stuff out. And of course, a shout out to Third Party Crashers and TF Prototype, who give our show an immense amount of love. And yeah, so that's it. That's going to take us out of here. And as Oscar would say, collect responsibly and be good to yourselves and each other. Antoine?
You've been shattered.
Very nice.
Hail Hasbro.